Hello and welcome back to the official Scottish Rugby Podcast, together with the Royal Bank of Scotland, coming to you this week from all of our homes. On the show this week, Mossy, Al and I are joined by Dr. James Robson, MBE, who gives us an update on the current situation in and out of Scotland. Plus, Scotland captain Stuart Hogg joins us from Exeter. And finally, John Manson, aka Pump, is back in the pod to give us an update from Washington, DC. Scottish Rugby, Glasgow Warriors and Edinburgh Rugby are working together behind the scenes to ensure you still get your weekly fix of rugby. Amongst our plans are interviews, live games, new podcast episodes and player news. Over the next few weeks, we'll be providing you with the very best content we can across all of our channels and directly to your inboxes. Now, while rugby is on hold, we want to do our bit to help fans remain entertained and remain connected to the wider rugby community. As always, Scottish Rugby will continue to provide you with key updates around what is happening in the world of Scottish Rugby at scottishrugby.org. Updates will be posted on our website first to ensure everyone is kept up to date on what is happening during this period of uncertainty. I'm delighted to have with us on the podcast this week two legends of the game, Stuart Hogg and Dr. James Robson. How are we, gents?
Yeah, well, thank you, Jimmy.
Good, Doc. And Hoggy, how are you doing, mate?
Very well, thank you.
Thanks for coming on, gents. Now, of course, we're joined, as always, by Al Kellogg and Chris Patterson, but we do have
it's
to...
Underwhelming. It's always underwhelming for me.
It's just underwhelming.
I know.
Isn't it dreadful, Mossy?
Well, I thought the two legends of the game were going to be you and I, Al, but, well, no chance.
Hey, I played 156 games for Glasgow. I was captain.
As if things aren't low enough, we just get kind of brought in at the last minute. I must say, we are all at home, so this may be quite messy over the next 20, 30, 40 minutes or so, yeah, as we're all fighting for microphone time. But yeah, I'm sure it'll be just as normal.
Guys, thank you very much for joining us. We do have to start, obviously, this is a different podcast. We are all at home. I'll start with you. What's your current setup? Where are you? Whereabouts in the house are you?
I'm tucked away in my front room. I've asked the kids to try and keep the noise to a minimum, but that will no doubt hear them at some stage throughout. Yeah, I kind of set myself up in the front room as the office. I could do with the heating on a wee bit. It's a wee bit chilly, but I'm okay, Jamie. I'm okay. Thanks for asking.
No problem. Hogg, are you down south? How are you getting on down there?
Yeah, we're down next at our way. Currently sitting in the living room looking out to the garden with the kids jumping on the trampoline. So no doubt they'll be in at some point whinging.
Nice, nice. Dr. James, are you up Dundee area?
Yeah, we certainly are. So we're all working from home. Both daughters are working in their respective bedrooms. My wife is busy helping her practice out, and I'm sitting in the dining room. I don't think I've ever felt so accessible. People have discovered all sorts of things I'd never heard of. We've had WhatsApp audio, WhatsApp video, we've had FaceTime, we've had Teams, we've had Adobe Connect. Honestly, I'm even shouting over the garden to my next door neighbours.
You've just blown my mind, James.
Hey, I try my best, Mossy.
Well, I'm in my spare room, Jamie. I was in the kitchen, but that's now a classroom for two school-aged children. I then decanted for there into the dining room, but it was just too close to the school-aged children for noise. So I'm now upstairs, tucked away in a spare bedroom with a little bit of peace and quiet. So, yeah, all good.
How's homeschooling going, Mossy?
Homeschooling's a challenge, to be honest. I'll not lie. I think, you know, there's much bigger problems in the world, obviously, but just trying to basically understand what they're doing is the biggest challenge.
Best part of it for me today was at lunchtime, I got a game of World Cup out the back. We went out for a game of football.
Well, I won't lie, there's been more pee than anything else. yesterday I got the hose out. I wasn't watering the kids, I was just pretending, you know, the old skipping thing in a circle spinning round. Oh,
thought you meant one of them has been bad.
They've not been hosed yet. So they were skipping, there was tennis, there was football, there was cricket, there was frisbee. We did some circuits. Yeah, so there's certainly more PE than anything else so far. But we're getting on. We're getting on and making the most of it.
And Hoggy, have you been doing any homeschooling?
For myself or for the kids?
You said it before I did.
Well, I got in there, Al. Yes, I knew it was coming. I knew your banter.
Are you studying for your standard grade, Hoggy?
Now, Doc, I'm going to come back to you because it's obviously a very serious situation going on at the moment globally. It's a much wider issue here, but we're obviously going to talk about it more from a rugby point of view. But just talking to you, this must be a really busy time for you and all your you know, the people you know in the medical world. But have you ever seen anything like this before?
No, fortunately not. Sadly, not. This is really the stuff of science fiction. And despite the fact that we could see this coming from across the world, I think everybody was pretty shattered when watching the Prime Minister and then the First Minister make their announcements last night as to the requirement for the crackdown that we need to do, the sacrifices that we need to make to save lives.
James, Dr. James, you've been ahead of the curve in many ways, haven't you, over the last 3-4 weeks, when you've almost predicted what was going to happen and you've made, you know, big strides in terms of, from Scottish Rugby's point of view, and how we were trying to protect each other from a good number of weeks ago, haven't you?
I think we've all been heeding the warning signs and basically trying to protect our own in the first instance. So the boys, certainly we've been in camp for Six Nations, as you know, and getting the information to them initially about good hand hygiene, about cough etiquette, etc., has been absolutely crucial. And I think the first instance, the guys and the girls in the senior men, senior women and the under-20s perhaps thought it was a little bit lighthearted, a little bit of a joke. But basically we were there giving them ground rules for what many in the medical profession could see was to come. And, you know, safety is paramount. We've had safety issues in rugby for many years, you know, looking at scrum injuries, looking at concussion, looking at spinal injuries, just looking at injury rates per se. And we've always been cognizant of the need for vigilance around infection. You know, if we get some like diarrhea, vomiting bug in the camp, we're very good at isolating people. This is an unbelievably new level. And of course, it's precautions and it's advice that we need on both a local, a national, and an international scale.
James, it seems like a long time ago that was the hand hygiene was the only concern that we had, but it is something the players are, we talked about this throughout the Six Nations, it's something the players are used to as well. You'll put in certain standards depending on whether it's a cough, a cold, a flu, diarrhea, sickness that you mentioned, that the players are used to the fact that they might go from handshakes to fist pumps to elbow pumps and downgrade it that way.
Indeed, and it's physical contact we're talking about. And of course, what the experts are telling us that social distancing really can make a difference. I think one of the things that's taken everybody by surprise is just how infectious, how transmissible this virus has been. And when we initially thought that perhaps one person could infect maybe 2-3 people, we now think perhaps it's a little bit more than that. But if you look at what they're trying to do and trying to cut down the number of contacts, you can make an enormous difference. And so I would plead to everybody and anybody listening to this podcast, do as you're being asked, do as the experts are saying, as the First Minister, as the Prime Minister, as the respective CMOs of all the home countries. Just listen to the World Health Organization's pleas. Just do your best to keep away from each other. I know it's hard. We're all incredibly gregarious. And particularly, I mean, what's always amazed me about rugby is how social our sport is. You know, guys like Hoggy do the best on the pitch. They literally knock lumps out of each other at times. And yet afterwards, the handshakes, the hugs are unlimited. And at the moment, we just can't afford to do that.
Hoggy, Al and Mossy, Al, have you ever had a period like this where you've had a prolonged break that you can remember? Or, you know, and in that time, what is it that you guys are going to, you know, focus on? How do you keep yourself motivated, keep yourself fit? What's some of the things you have to work on?
The only prolonged break, from a player's point of view, that's it's not even really comparable, but it's the injury. And it can be quite a lonely period. But now it's different in that you're isolated, but I mean, Stuart, you can comment on this in a lot more detail, but you're doing your best at home to stay fit, I assume. You're clearly still having to look after your diet and making sure that when you get back to playing rugby, you're in the best condition you can be. But does it compare at all to long-term injuries, Hoggy?
Again, it's completely different in terms of, you know, when you're injured, you're still in at the club every single day and training away with the S&C and, you know, getting your physio work and stuff. But in this situation, you're completely on your own. You know, I'm fortunate enough, I've had my garage renovated into a gym that, you know, I can get in there and continue to train and keep myself in shape. But it's key to keep ticking over, to keep on top of your nutrition and your diet and just make sure that you are in the best shape possible, because we are completely unaware of if and when our season's going to continue. So, you know, we don't want any extra surprises. And we've talked at the club of, you know, whoever comes back from this break in the best shape is going to be in a position to compete. So as individuals, we're challenged to keep ourselves ticking over.
I think that, I mean, absolutely, totally underline and agree with James how important this is. And you know, rugby isn't the most important thing, but it is your job and you've got to keep fit and keep working hard. I assume the hardest bit, Hoggy, is not knowing how long. Now, nobody knows, but not knowing how long you're going to have to be without rugby in terms of then periodising your training, but also staying rugby fit. I mean, rugby fitness is totally different to cardiovascular fitness, to strength, to bulk, because you've got so many elements that include the contact, the wrestling. So I assume it is just a cardiovascular running fitness and a bit of weight at the moment that'll be primary, is it?
Yeah, exactly that. Just keep ticking over, you know, lifting some weights, keeping some fitness going with the cardio. It is a challenge, but as you say, the safety and the health and safety of everybody in the world is the primary focus. So as soon as we get that sorted, we can concentrate on everything else that happens. But for me, rugby's a sport. You've got to take everything else a lot more serious.
What's your go-to cardio? Are you a rower or a runner?
I like to try and mix up a little bit. I try and do some circuits with the weights at the same time, so I'm not, you know, sitting on a bike for too long or on the rowing machine or the assault bike or whatever. I like to jump in and out of it and kind of challenge myself in different areas. So every day is a new day. Every day is a new challenge. And thank goodness for the social media and the internet that you can click on and see different training sessions to do.
What about you, Mossy? How's your Monday? How are you coping with your Monday night fitness session?
I've got a login for a fitness course thing, Les Mills. So my garage is trying to be a gym, but it's basically a weight bench and a couple of racks. It's also got a couple of rabbits that live in the garage. So their playroom's been compromised somewhat by me throwing light weights about. But the kids join in as well. It's a Les Mills thing, and I need to try and get out for a run as much as possible. But one thing you won't find me on was a rowing machine. That was my nemesis. I hated a rower. So Al, you've got a big long back, Al. You'd be a rower, would you?
I don't have a rowing machine in the house. So Hoggy, you got the rowing machine in the home gym?
I don't, thankfully, and it's not going to be coming in.
Good answer.
Hoggy, what are you lifting weight wise? I'm just looking to increase my warm up.
Jamie.
Are you all right, Jamie? Are you all right?
I'm loving it. I'm good, mate. I'm happy to have you on.
Hoggy, Jamie's been doing a bit of lifting over the last 6 months or so. Jamie, you should give us a bit of an update, actually. How's all that going?
Well, you know, things have changed over the past couple of weeks, having a baby, this whole situation with the COVID-19. So it was going well, kind of slacking now, but yeah, was getting pretty lean, I would say. But yeah, I don't know, it's just how I'm going to sustain it over the next couple of months, I don't know.
Al, were you ever thinking back to when we used to do pre-season, we'd have a block and then we'd have a couple of weeks off and then come back in for a second block. But in the 2 weeks off, you were still asked to maintain your strength in different ways. And of course, that would be the window that most people would go away on holiday. And can you remember the suitcase snatch that we were given? There was a programme that included suitcase snatches. So if you were going away, you have to like fill your suitcase, obviously, with your clothes, and you would use it as a weight.
All sorts of things.
It was like stones on the beach.
Swimming pool fitness, where you had to, I was going to say your children, it wasn't your children then, it was your wife, you know, using some weighted squats, press ups, everything, dips at the side of the pool, suitcase snatch.
Yeah. I broke a few windows and whatever, but it was it kept you titting over.
Well, I've seen some of the boys. There's been microwave squats. There's been all sorts from the players. Huggy, you'll have all your own setup. Do you? You got your gym equipment. You're not doing any squats with a microwave or pint of milk or anything like that, are you?
No, I do like to try and take care of myself. Obviously, learning from your mistakes of a few years ago when I was 101 kilos and my skin folds were through the roof. So I do like to try and look after myself. And I find training, just keep ticking over. I really, really enjoy doing it. And the best thing about the gym and the garage now is that, one, you get to train, but hopefully my wife doesn't listen to this, you actually get to hide a little bit as well. So it has been quite enjoyable.
Have you, what are you doing, James?
Me, I'm just about to start on my Lego Saturn V rocket. So I'm going to be lifting a few bricks. You remember, I'm somewhat older than you guys, so I've just got to take it in stages. But, yeah, I've been looking for a good excuse to get that started. Christine's not going to get the dining room back, unfortunately.
James, how important is it from your point of view, the whole exercise, everybody's kind of locked down in their house, but from a mental health point of view, to try and keep some sort of activity going?
I think you've got to look at your day. You've got to try and normalise as best you can in this horrendously abnormal world that we're living through. So you've got to look. So when I get up in the morning, I'm on brand. I get my kit on because I don't own any other clothes apart from my Macron stuff. My wife's never seen me in anything apart from my tracksuit and my birthday suit.
Macron brandy.
Yeah, so that gives me the motivation to actually, you know, think, right, I am at work. And as we said before, all kidding apart, I've had a phenomenal amount of conference calls, a lot of work to do to get things finalized. And I think if you can kind of have a handle to make your day a bit more normal. But within that, you've got to remember your mental health and your physical health. And there's a fantastic array of stuff online through various colleges, through various gyms, etc., as you've alluded to. And we need to make ourselves as fit as we possibly can. But you've still got to maintain the advice from the government. And so they're advising you get to get out and do one piece of physical exercise per day, and it really does mean that. But of course, if you're lucky enough to have a garden, you can get out and get a bit of sunshine, because what we can't afford is to people to become vitamin D deficient, etc. And then there's the mental health. It's really all about maintaining relationships, about speaking to you guys, for instance. You know, it's light relief. It's speaking to colleagues. It's speaking to friends. It's speaking to family. And I think we're all developing a much, much greater awareness and an appreciation of each other. And I hope that that will continue after this crisis is over. In fact, I fully expect it will. We will reset our values and our goals. And, I think hopefully the world will be a better place.
I completely agree with that. I think that, I've generally spoken to my parents every night this week, and we were using one of the video conferencing. So everybody's coming in, so the auntie and uncle are coming in, and almost more than we normally would. And I hope you're right that post this, that carries on and people realise how precious it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And Hoggy, I was going to say just around that, are you still having your team meetings and stuff? Are you still having that with your guys extra? Are you still having regular catch-ups and meetings?
Not necessarily meetings, but we've got a WhatsApp group created for our S&C staff to get in touch with us, with the coaches, to see how we're getting on. And, you know, the boys are putting in their little training videos here and there, and you know, we're kind of challenging each other and trying to get one up on each other. So it has been a little bit of fun, something a bit different. But I completely agree with Doc. It's a huge challenge for mental health now, and you just got to keep as much going on as you possibly can. I found that my routine, you know, my wife's laid out a timetable for what we do every single day. So it's great to have some sort of plan of what we're doing.
And seeing people's faces, like the phone calls are all well and good, and we live by them at times, but the ability to use all these different ways of actually seeing people's faces, like Hoggy, we were on one last night, and you just get a little bit more interaction when you can see the reaction of people as opposed to it just being a phone call, which you're maybe not 100% into. I think that's key to it as well.
Well, just to pick up on the fitness thing with Hoggy as well is, obviously, you know, fun is a big part of it at the moment, and because you don't know the end point, but are you wearing heart rate monitors that are then you have to send your information or your data or your GPS on anything you're wearing or doing? Is that having to be sent into the S&C staff?
There's nothing that we've been given from the club in terms of, you know, monitoring anything we're doing. So what I've done is I've gone out and bought some heart rate monitors just so I can keep up to date with how I'm doing. As I say, I'm really keen on my training, so to get an idea of what my heart rate's at and you know, the kind of distances that I'm clocking up on the treadmill or the bike, etc., it's all there for you. So it gives you an idea of what you're doing, so you don't do too much and you know you're just getting the balance right.
Going back to the rugby a little bit, I don't know if you guys saw, but last Friday we premiered a rehashing of an old game. We showed Scotland versus Australia from 2017 in the Open Test. Now, Doc and Hoggy, you remember this game well because, Hoggy, you went down in the warm-up. Just talk us through, we haven't really talked about it before, but what happened there. I think I know it was your leg and stuff, but just talk us through that whole range of emotions you're in the warm-up and how that came about.
Yeah, well, it wasn't actually my leg. It was my iliopsoas muscle. Doc, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that...
No, you're entirely right, Hoggy.
Yeah, I believe it comes from your back and attaches to your pelvis. Is that correct?
It's a bit like the pork loin that you can get at the supermarket.
Yeah, well,
you guys organised this last night, didn't you?
Oh, no. You learn a lot about yourself, Mossy, when you get injured as much as I do. I had a tear so far deep down, it was bloody agony. And I kind of struggled with it during the week, and you know, I thought it was going to be all right. Steve Much and Doc looked after me incredibly well, and managed to get myself onto the pitch to play, and well, didn't quite. I got myself onto the warm up, and then it was Rudy Jackson actually. We were kicking back and forward, and I said I wasn't quite right, and he said, "Come on, we'll kick some balls." And next minute, I managed to rip my iliopsoas. So I was out. I was devastated because you know they were the kind of games that you wanted to be involved in, a huge opportunity to play against one of the best teams in the world in Australia. And you know, I was gutted to come off, but couldn't be prouder and like happier after the game when the boys absolutely thumped Australia. So, and it was an enjoyable night out after it as well.
Were you a wee bit grumpy, Hoggy?
Was I grumpy?
I love the fact that you're saying you were so proud, and I like totally get that. But there must have been a wee part of you being grumpy that you missed the game.
I was raging. I was raging because I walked off and. Because I'd done everything I possibly could to get back fit, because I was genuinely struggling during the week, and I run back in, well, I kind of jog back in and said to Muchy, something's gone here. And we tried this different strap, and I pretty much had to force myself to run with it, and it just wasn't quite right. So when I came back in, I took myself into the back of the gym and had 5-10 minutes to myself, and just got over it, try to get over it as quick as I possibly could, because I wanted to get out there and support the boys. But I was raging because I just kind of came back from a 4-month layoff with my eye socket and my shoulder reconstruction. So to miss out on so many games and then to come back and only, you know, play 3 or 4 before I get injured again, I was raging. But these things happen. You've got to get on with it. And, you know, as I say, I've learned a lot about my body over the last couple of years because of these injuries.
I have to say, from from my point of view, we sat down and watched that game and pretended we didn't know the score. And of course, half the time I'm aware of whether we've won or lost. But when you're down at pitch side as a as a medic, quite often you're totally unaware of just the detail of the game. So it was actually wonderful for me to relive that. I mean, maybe a slight different take than Hoggy's. You know, we felt that Sean Maitland had trained pretty bloody hard throughout the week, and convincing Hoggy that he wasn't fit was a medical master's joke.
Is it true, James, that Gregor came to you in a warm-up and said, "No, we want Sean and get rid of him"?
Yeah, he was looking for an excuse, and we were happy to oblige.
He scored a belter that day, in fairness. He scored an absolute belter.
Mossy, have you guys ever been gone down in the warm-up?
Oh, Mossy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. There's a couple. I remember playing for Edinburgh and not even making the warm-up. It was my hip, a really bad hip. I was so selfish. I was not prepared to let on or tell anybody that was struggling. And I made it into the changing room to get treatment. And this was literally just before the warm-up. I said to the physio, "I'm really struggling here." He said, "Well, lie in the bed and lift your right leg," to which I couldn't even lift my leg off the bed. So, I was rather selfish in leaving it until 10 minutes before the warm-up to let on that I was never, ever going to be able to play. But there was a wee incident in Australia once as well, Doc, that I took a blow in the warm-up. But, we got back into the field that day.
Al?
I don't think so. I think I got injured in a warm-up once. Ed Carwin, tight head at Glasgow, holding a bag. And I went to hit him and something went in my knee. Now, I ended up going back in and got treatment, played that game, and it was a panhandle or a bucket handle tear. Which one is it in your cartilage?
Well, it depends. If you're in Miami, I suppose it's a panhandle, but if you're over here, it's a bucket handle.
And a bucket handle tear in my cartilage, yeah. And I needed an operation on it the following week. So I got injured in the warm-up, managed to play the game.
Hero.
And then, I was going to ask you that, James, how much of it, from your opinion, maybe you, Stuart, as an example, but how much of it is down to the injury and how much of it is down to how brave the person is?
No, I don't know. Yeah, Huggy's one of the bravest people I've ever met. Having said that, it would be wrong for me to say there's any braver person than Mike Blair, because he keeps telling me how tough he is.
Keeps telling me how generous he is as well, but that's not true either. So,
well, there's two myths debunked.
That was last Friday night. We showed that game. And you mentioned Huggy. It was a great result. And this week, we're going to show another classic game from 2017, that match with New Zealand. Now, it wasn't a win for Scotland, but it's a game, certainly for me, that sticks out in the mind of just an amazing rugby occasion. There was the Doddy Weir match ball delivery. Hoggy, you were man of the match in that game as well. Just your thoughts on that game, gents, and the occasion that it was.
Yeah, absolutely loved it. To have Doddy walk on with his sons before the game, it was a spine-tingling moment, I think, for us to see Doddy, absolute legend, come on and deliver the match ball. We knew that day we had to put on a performance. And from a personal point of view, you know, I had the Lions tour snatched away from me, and being told that I was going to be starting the first test by Warren Gatland as I was leaving was a bit of a kick in the nuts. So I kind of felt that I was due New Zealand one, and I was doing everything I possibly can to make sure we could get the win. And I don't know how many times I've reviewed and watched that last break back. I've thought about my try celebration and everything if I was to score it, but it's gone now. We kind of change it, but we can learn from it.
It was an amazing, like Hoggy's right, the whole aura. Sometimes it's just an incredible aura around the game, and I think that was, and that often happens when you're playing the All Blacks, but then with the whole Doddy thing and then just the start. And that was the period where Scotland had introduced a tempo and a speed into their game that really no one had played it before in terms of getting the ball back into play as quick as possible. Everyone else in World Rugby at that time was kind of following the same trend. And now most teams will probably try and quicken the game up. But even the All Blacks, who are famed for playing as quickly and as kind of expansively as they do, were caught out, absolutely. And it was, I was commentating and actually jumped out my seat for that last break, Hoggy. I think I thumped Andrew Cotter on the head and I dropped the headphones. I was up my feet, but I must admit that Bowden Barrett's tackle was utterly phenomenal. utterly phenomenal. The speed they cover that tire, I don't think you could have done anything else. No, that won't ruin it for for the rerun. Well, maybe giving it away.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it, but what a tackle.
It was a belter. So when I got through, I could see the try and I generally thought I was going to score, and out the corner of my eye, Bowden Barrett came from nowhere and could have done anything different. I don't know. Like, I've watched it back so many times. And if I just had a stronger left hand to chuck the offload and or maybe pull out a little bit earlier, I don't know. But look, we can't change it, unfortunately. But yeah, it's one of these things that if we had managed to get over in the corner, I've no doubt that Finn Russell would have nailed the kick to win the game as well. So, it's one that got away.
Well, it'll come round again, I'm sure, Hoggy. Whether it's this summer or not, we'll have another crack at them soon. But yeah, that's a phenomenal game, and it's going to be on this Friday night live across our YouTube and Facebook channels. So you don't want to miss that, even though we've just given away most of the game. Doc, just on that, you know, Doddy Weir was delivering the match ball. You've known Doddy a long time. Must have been a pretty emotional time for you.
Oh, it did. Yeah, just remarkable because my first tour was 91. Doddy and I sat together on the plane to Canada. I got to know him then, and I was then very privileged to help look after him over the years and watch his career. And, the atmosphere surrounding that game was electric anyways. You know, it was I think it was one of the lights out games. It was incredible. But to have Doddy and the boys deliver the ball, just eye-watering.
Well, I want to say a massive thank you for Dr. James Robson for joining us here on the official Scottish Rugby podcast. Doc, I've no doubt we'll get you back on as you know, things will no doubt change over the next couple of weeks. Thank you for all your input today. And, you know, I think the message from us is Scottish Rugby will keep everybody updated when we can, when things change. But yeah, thanks, Doc, and take care and stay safe.
Thanks very much.
Cheers, Doc.
Thanks, Doc.
Thanks, Doc.
Brilliant to have James on. We've got another special guest who came on especially to say hello to you, Hoggy, from across the pond, the guy who's been on a few weeks ago. John Manson, are you there?
I'm here, Al. How is everybody?
Yeah, we're doing okay. How are things with you?
Hi, Hoggy. How are you, son?
I'm very well, John. I am missing you.
I hear you're needing a babysitter, is that right?
Oh, well, if you want to come and help me, John, that would be much appreciated. You looked after me for about 6 years, so, you know, any help's welcome.
That's true. We started a long time ago when you were under 18, Hoggy.
That's longer than 6 years ago. I remember that.
I remember that.
18 and 20s. Oh, aye, I forgot about
and
that.
And the 20s.
10 years then you've been looking after me.
I remember that red card against South Africa and Italy. Remember that one? Lost us a game.
It was actually a yellow and I got excited.
Aye, that's true. Two-game ban.
He would be easy to look after, Pump, wasn't he?
Oh, he was absolute gold when he was younger. Aye, wasn't he? Didn't he have an attitude at all?
You loved me, really. I kept you on your toes, John.
He certainly did. No, he's done well, Stuart. He's certainly matured. I think having a wife and children's brought him on, that's for sure.
Pump, what's your first memories of Hoggy?
First memories of Hoggy. Similar to Donkey Weir, when I came into the under-18 set-up, there was two names that everybody was talking about, and it was wee Donkey and Stuart Hogg. And everybody was just really excited to get them in the programme. And even back then, they sort of knew that the two of them were going to go on to play for Scotland and do well in their careers. And it came to pass, you know, the two of them were outstanding young players at that time. And then Hoggy's obviously went on to have the career he's currently having. So no surprise to me, the two men that I just mentioned are where they are in their careers.
I was going to say, it's probably worth giving it a wee bit of context. So John Manson, for anybody that wasn't listening to a few weeks ago, you're currently at Washington Old Glory as head of rugby operations, but you did head of rugby operations at Glasgow for how long, John?
For 5 years, just under 5 years.
But before that, I've been involved in Scottish rugby for...
I came in to help them win the league out because the captain at that time was struggling with motivating the players.
How long were you in before we won that in 2015, John? 2 months?
2 months. It was an easy fix, Al.
Yeah, 2 months. First guy with a trophy.
It was an easy fix, Al.
Oh, after you, you mean? After you, you mean?
But Pump, 2 months in, right? And I remember.
Comes on, steals a line, and then lifts the trophy.
Okay, Jamie was speaking there. Stop interrupting. Sorry, Jamie, on you go.
No, it's fine. I was just going to say.
Sorry, Jamie.
It's all right, you're all right. Pump comes in 2 months, and I remember it. Pro 12 final in Belfast.
You don't remember that well, do you?
and Pump, you remember that. You're not going to forget this, but we couldn't get back that night. That must have been a pretty stressful time for you, was it not?
It started off pretty stressful, but actually, in hindsight, it turned out to be the best thing that happened. The boys ended up going back to the team hotel. We got a few Domino's pizzas in. The hotel kept the bar open, and we had an amazing night. So it was turned out brilliant, to be fair. Where were you that night, Hoggy? Did you behave yourself that night, didn't you?
Oh, I did, John. We all sat around the team room. I remember it well. Trophy sitting in the middle.
That's right.
Two songs.
John Manson sitting next to it.
couldn't get it out of your hands, Al.
We did. The great thing about it was that nobody went out, so we all stayed in and we sat around in a group, the playing group, the management, everybody was there. I remember going back because the hotel wasn't expecting us, so there was no rooms made up for us. So you were going back to your room, and a lot of the rooms there was no linen in, there was no duvets, no pillows, but nobody cared. It was bed for about 3 hours and then up and away again back home.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the hotel was just. As I say, we had only booked in the one night, so we went back there and we sort of took them by surprise. But the rooms were stripped, the place was empty, but we soon made it home for the night, and it was a great night, one that I'll always remember, that's for sure.
I can.
Well, Hoggy, I know you're a busy man. You got to go back in that your gym and get ready for whenever this season continues or starts again. But I just want to say thank you very much for giving us your time this afternoon. Hope it all goes well and stay safe, mate.
Cheers, guys. Look after yourself.
Don't mind, Hoggy.
Thanks, Hoggy.
Great to have Hoggy on. He'll be back to daddy daycare and the gym and the garage. John, interested to know how things are over with you in Washington at Old Glory. Obviously, a challenging time for everybody, but Where are you with the players and the team as a whole?
Yeah, also, as I mentioned on the team call the other day, we're probably about 2 or 3 days behind the UK now. We started off 2 or 3 weeks behind, but we seem to have caught up pretty quickly. Listening to you guys earlier and listening to Doc Robson, it's really poignant that we stress how serious this is. And our first concern over here was the players. We had over 20 overseas players. So our first concern was getting those guys back home to Fiji, back home to New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, and back with their families. I'm glad to say that we've managed to do that. So all those boys are resettled. The guys that are staying in the US are back here. They've moved back again to their families. And then we're just in the process of sort of dismantling the club, you know, all the accommodation, the facilities we had sorted out for the season. So we're just taking that apart piece by piece at the moment.
What about society as a whole, John? What stage are you at as far as social distancing or lockdown or people staying at home? Where are you guys with that?
Yeah, so we're not quite at lockdown yet. DC is quite a big political city, as you'll know. So It went quiet kind of quickly. It was quite strange. 2 or 3 weeks ago, it started emptying out because the nature of the work here is, as I say, is political and embassies and all that stuff. So that can be done from home. So the city centre went quiet really, really quickly. But we've sort of followed suit with everything else, but we're not quite a lockdown. You can still go out. There is social distancing, and the messages are the same across the globe now. Be sensible, wash your hands, disinfect your hands, keep away from other people, but still go out and get the essentials, go to the pharmacy, go to the grocery store, whatever you need to do.
And will you stay in Washington, John?
Yeah, so I'm staying here just now. I've had a few chats with my missus Helen and my daughter Laura back home. Helen works at Falkirk Royal in the hospital, so she's on the front line. She's on the front line there, and they're going through all the emergency planning and all the rest of it, as you would imagine. So she was pretty happy for me to stay here. I was pretty comfortable staying here. I felt I had a wee bit of unfinished business here. As I say, the major concern for me was getting all the players back to where they need to be, you know, and it couldn't be the case where I was the first one in the lifeboat, you know, when the ship was sinking. So there's a wee bit of responsibility here that I've got to take care of. And as I say, I've spoken that through with Helen and Laura. So at the moment, everybody's comfortable where I'm at.
So rugby comes a very distant second to this, as we already said, for all of us who are involved in the sport. But John, you must have been delighted with the way your team had started from a rugby point of view, and I suppose that probably heightens the disappointment of everything that's going on, although it is put into perspective as well.
Absolutely. Again, listening to you chatting earlier, it's really difficult to talk about rugby now, you know, because there's so much else going on in the world. But listen, we had a great start to the season. We won 4 out of 5 opening games, 2 of them at home. We built a pretty decent fan base, about between 3,000 and 4,000 fans, which is incredible for a team that's only 2 or 3 months old. So it was a really exciting time. Boys were starting to play some great rugby. So we just feel we've got unfinished business. The positive thing for us is when we do get the go-ahead to continue, we've learned so much from the first 2 or 3 months. So we'll be able to make a few changes and adapt a few things and make things even better for next season. So, yeah, it was a great start, Al, but as I say, it's difficult to discuss when there's so much else going on in the world.
Yeah, of course.
And there was a release out, John, saying that the season will continue online with virtual gaming through esports. Is that going to go ahead? Is it in a special way of keeping fans engaged and raising money for food banks? So it's a whole a holistic approach. Tell us about that.
Started at the weekend, Mossy, as usual with these things. And I've done this several times in my career as a manager. I'm so far out of touch with social media, it's not even funny. So when I first seen this, I thought this is nonsense. We've got the world shutting down here, and all we are talking about is online gaming. However, as my track record has proven, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. So it's been a massive success. So they've basically went on to MLR 2020 virtual rugby. So we've put forward one of our players, or every franchise has put forward a player, and they've got a set of league games, and it's basically the World Rugby 2020 game on the PlayStation. So, and they play virtual games against each of the franchises. So we played against ATL Atlanta. Renata played for us, our winger, who's actually back in New Zealand now. So he's playing for New Zealand, which is the great thing, I suppose. So we beat Atlanta 22-12 the other night.
It's a bit of pressure, isn't there? A bit of pressure.
It's massive. And you can watch it on, now again, I don't know what this is, but you can watch it on Twitch. So again, I'm so far away from this. It's hilarious. Apparently people pay to watch people play games. Again, something that I never knew anything about. So there's guys watching and you can listen to the banter, and it's quite entertaining.
And they're making money for the community as well.
I was just going to say that. The other great thing, which sort of sold it to me eventually, was they've linked it into the Feeding America charity, so it's like for the homeless and the underprivileged, you know. So there's actually a really good side to it. The money they generate goes to charity, which is obviously, in this circumstance, a fantastic thing to be doing.
Now, in every team you've ever been involved in or played in, selection's crucial. How on earth do you select one person to represent your team? Do they have to? Is it a playoff? Who's the best in the game?
Well, it's a very good point, and I thought exactly that, Mossy, when I heard. So I just went straight to the boys. We've got the WhatsApp group for the players, and I put the message straight out to the boys. I says, "Listen, lads, we've got this online tournament. Who's our go-to guy with gaming?" Everybody to a man came back and said, Renata.
Oh, no. So easy decision.
He's the man. He's like, I'll tell you, he's set up in a caravan in his back garden in New Zealand, right? And he's had praise for the league already. He's got a green screen behind him in his caravan. So he can basically put any background he wants when he's playing.
Oh, brilliant.
It's just unbelievable. So he was obviously the man to do it, and he's won his first game, so we've been proven right so far.
Good.
Oh, John, it's brilliant to hear that you're safe over there, and that from an Old Glory point of view, that it sounds as if you've got all of your players back where they need to be, which is safe and sound in their own homes, looking after their own family. And I suppose that's the key message for all of us over the next few weeks and months, is to make sure we're looking and following every bit of the guidelines that we're getting out. But John, thank you very much for joining us, and no doubt we'll get you on again soon.
Thanks, Al. It's a pleasure, and stay safe, everyone. See you all soon.
Cheers, Pam.
Thanks, Pam.
Thanks, John.
Gents, it's been brilliant hearing from John Manson, who's over in DC just now with Old Glory, Stuart Hogg earlier on with Dr. James Robson. Brilliant to get them all on boarded, to hear that everyone's safe, and for Dr. James Robson to reiterate the messages. Great episode, lads. What's your take from it?
Well, I'll be honest, like, we're obviously all working from home, and you know, in the planning and preparation of this, recording this podcast, I was a little bit worried. How do we, you know, it's such a serious situation, much more serious than rugby, and the emphasis is utterly to follow the guidelines and be totally responsible. And I know, I don't know about you, Al, but I was kind of worried about this podcast, is how do we, you know, pitch it, you know, because we want to entertain and we want to be informative and we want to take people's mind off it and help, you know, people through difficult times. But ultimately, I understand it is difficult times for everyone. But I think it's, as the phrase is well known, it's good to talk, and talking to James and Hoggy and Pump and yourselves, it just really helps. And I think I'd say as well, like for the weeks and months ahead, you know, for people who do listen to us, get in touch and let us know what you want to hear and what us talking about, if it's, you know, memories or top fives or I'm not sure, but hopefully we hit the right note and we do underline the seriousness of the situation, but bring a wee bit light entertainment as well if we can.
Yeah, definitely. I think the one thing I took from rugby was that when it does get hard, it's important to smile, it's important to communicate and to get yourself through that. There's so much challenging people at the moment. Commercially, we are very busy working with our partners, some of them at the absolute front line of dealing with this virus and the kind of crisis that's coming off the back of it. But I thought James's point earlier on was fantastic, that there will be positives that come out of this. And if that's speaking to more people, John said it there as well, speaking to more people, interacting in different ways, taking a little bit of time to step back and reassess what's important, that has to be a key message. The content that will keep coming out of Scottish Rugby will be a look back as opposed to a look forward, because uncertainty is definitely there as far as timelines are concerned. But there's so much happening that if we can play a small part in that, then all good.
Yeah, it's been challenging, but it's been great, and it's good that we can still deliver this to our fans, and I hope people do enjoy it. And
the millions of listeners, is that what you're saying,
exactly,
Jamie? The millions
of fans around the world. And this is, as you said, this has been a podcast that hasn't really been about rugby, and it could also be one of our best podcasts. So that's a bit of a worrying sign for me.
Talk yourself up. Have you, just out of interest, Jamie, have you got the book sitting in front of you? It's a Bible there.
When we were told we were going into lockdown, it was the first thing that I grabbed. I've got the Bible. I've got it with me, so I've got all the facts that I need. So yes, it's right beside me. I've actually got I didn't get a chance to chat about it, but John Manson's came on for his debut in 1985 against England. And the first Peter Wright actually got sunburned in that game, and he was the first Scottish player ever to get a yellow card. So there you go.
Fun
fact for you.
We could have had a bit of fun with John Manson. When you say debut, does it still count as a debut if it's the only one you got?
I'm still listening now. Of course it counts. Of course
it busted.
Of course it counts. Unbelievable.
No.
Unbelievable. You turn your back for a second and I felt the knife go in.
I love it.
And finally, applications are now open for the newly created Club Hardship Fund. The £500,000 fund was set up by Scottish Rugby to support clubs during the 2020 COVID-19 outbreak and the premature end of the 2019-20 season, which was confirmed by the Scottish Rugby Board earlier this month. This fund is designed to provide grants to clubs to sustain their business during this unprecedented period, and help them to continue to deliver rugby in Scotland. For more information on this fund, please visit scottishrugby.org. That's all from us here on the official Scottish Rugby podcast together with the Royal Bank of Scotland. We'll be back very soon with more exclusive content. Don't forget, the application window for the Royal Bank Rugby Force is now open. To be in with a chance to win practical and financial support to kickstart your club season, search Royal Bank Rugby Force.